Hello, my name is Jason, and I live in a two-bedroom apartment.
Is this Confessions of an Energy User?
Yeah, it's a new segment we're trying out for the show.
Oh, so you're pitching the CoServe reality show, Energy Users Anonymous.
Yeah, let me start over. Hi, my name is Jason.
Hi, Jason.
I live in a two-bedroom apartment, and I used 500 kilowatt hours of energy last month.
Really?
I know. I have a problem.
Are you kidding? That's nothing. My electricity usage last month was 1,000 kilowatt hours.
Whoa, wait, really?
AC, fans, endless loads of laundry, it all adds up.
Why do people seem embarrassed when they talk about the temperature they set their AC to in the summer?
I think a lot of folks know that the lower the temperature they set, the longer their AC runs, and the more they pay for electricity.
You don't have to feel guilty about your AC usage. We all want to be comfortable during the hot months, right? But if you have energy usage anxiety, or sometimes known as energy bill anxiety, we can help.
Figuring out your energy usage and how that translates into the cost of your bill is incredibly valuable. Greater knowledge can lead to saving money and helping the environment.
Today, we'll share some tips for energy usage in the summer.
Is it time to share some tried and true tips that can save you energy and money?
I think so. Conserve energy during peak times on hot days. Peak times are from 3 to 7 p.m.
Set your thermostat 2 to 3 degrees higher than normal.
Avoid using large appliances like ovens and washing machines during peak times.
Run your pool pump early in the morning or overnight and shut it off in the afternoon.
Well, that was some solid advice. Our listeners are pros at this stuff. In fact, they've probably heard these tips before, but here are two they may not have thought of.
Two tips to save energy. Number one will surprise you.
Sarah, we're not BuzzFeed.
True, but if CoServe was a Disney princess, I think...
Okay, let's stick to our energy advice and leave the quizzes for another day.
Okay. Summer advice number one. Give yourself some time to adjust to warmer weather.
So check it out. It can take up to 2 weeks to get used to warmer climates. Research shows that our bodies adapt incredibly well to new environments, including temperature changes. As the weather consistently hangs in the 90s and pushes 100 here in North Texas, our bodies are slowly beginning to get used to the summer heat.
The process starts in the first few days you're exposed to increased temperatures. Researchers found that as long as you're exposed to the heat for at least an hour a day over the course of consecutive days, your body will adjust. It takes between 10 to 14 days to be completely acclimated to increased temperatures. Yes, that might be uncomfortable for a few days, but you can do it.
Isn't that neat? It helps me get in the mindset that I might be uncomfortable for a week or two when summer comes, but over time, I'll get used to it. It's like delayed gratification.
Absolutely. And your bank account will be super grateful too, which I guess makes you grateful as well.
Oh yeah. Anytime my bank account has a balance above zero definitely makes me grateful.
And we're on to summer advice number two. Use the fans.
Use the force?
No, the fans.
Oh, okay.
These little wind turbines in your house can make the room feel 4 to 6 degrees cooler. Notice that word feel because fans are not literally cooling you down. The room may actually be warmer than you think, but a fan still helps.
Spare me a science-y moment.
Anytime.
The beauty of fans or a breeze is that they blow heat away from your body, making it feel cooler. Your body generates heat from its normal functions that keep you alive. Humans tend to have a body temperature of 97 to 99 degrees. If your body is 98 degrees and the air around you is 78 degrees, the energy or heat transfers, forming a boundary area of hot air around you.
Whoa, speaking of the force, but it's actually real science.
Precisely. The boundary of hot humid air just hangs out in motionless air. Now add some moving air to the situation, and by blowing air over your body, it creates a cooling effect. Moving air is technically not cooler, but the sensation of air moving over your body makes you feel cooler. It's blowing heat away from your skin, allowing your body to cool easier.
That's fantastic.
Nice. I even have a personal testimony that shows some of this science in action. So a couple months back, we moved into a new apartment, and it's on the third floor, so it's a little bit warmer than if you were on the first floor, for example. And our new apartment didn't have any fans, which isn't that big of a deal when it's like nice, comfortable temperature. But as soon as it started getting hot, it started feeling really stuffy in the apartment. And with no fans to just kind of help move that air around, we were like, oh, this is really uncomfortable. So what we were doing is we were actually setting our AC at like 73, 74 during the day, which, well, you know, wasn't great, but it just helped because the AC wasn't just making it feel cooler and actually pumping literal cool air into our apartment. It was also adding that airflow. So a few weeks later, after we moved in, we actually bought ceiling fans for all the rooms in our apartment. And now, because of those fans, we're able to set our AC at like 77. During the day, which is super awesome. So just having those fans has really helped. And fans are incredibly cheap to run. I think I did the math recently, and our fans cost like 5 cents a day to run. And that's running like most of the day, like 15 hours, just because they use very low electricity, very low energy. And so, you know, 5 cents a day comes out to like $1.75 a month. So that's $20 a year. For fans, and we don't even run them during the winter. Compared to AC, which uses, you know, a ton more electricity, and I think the AC costs like $1.75 a day. So 5 cents a day, $1.75 a day. There you go. Check out the difference. So I was able to kind of see this science in action.
It sounds like moving in was a breeze for you, Jason.
I just hope that moving out will be a breeze as well, since we'll have to take the fans with us probably.
Let's move on to summer advice number 3. Take advantage of our COVID-19 relief fund. Summer electric bills are hard on everybody, even when there isn't a pandemic happening that causes additional financial burdens. We hope these energy saving tips help keep your bill low, and that capital credits retired earlier in the summer helped too. But we understand even this may not be enough. If you need financial assistance, talk to us. We have payment arrangements and other options for you. We also still have our COVID-19 relief fund and can direct you to several local service agencies that are providing assistance during the season.
We share these energy saving tips mostly for your benefit to help you save money on your summer bills. To add to that, when you reduce your energy usage in the summer, you're also helping residents and businesses across the state. How?
For that, let's talk with Gary Franzen, CoServe's Director of Energy Services.
Before we talk with Gary, we should probably define one acronym you'll hear in our conversation, ERCOT.
ERCOT, not Epcot.
Yep. ERCOT stands for the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. As the grid operator for most of Texas, ERCOT works every day to make sure there is enough electricity available for consumer needs.
Okay, let's jump in.
My name is Gary Franzen. I am the Director of Energy Services at CoServe. I've been with CoServe about 3 years now. I've been working in the Texas electric market for 17 years, I believe it is. So I've had a lot of experience in the market doing different roles and with different companies. But I'm thrilled to be here at CoServe and thrilled to be here this morning talking about energy.
Well, thank you so much for being here this morning. We really appreciate your time. To start off with the first question, how would you explain the grid to a 10-year-old?
Wow, that's a great question. The grid. So I would explain that the grid is everything that is needed to make the power outlets at your house work. So everything that happens behind the scenes so that when you plug something into the power outlet that's in the wall, you get power. And so the grid is everything behind that. The grid includes the power generation plants that are required to generate electricity. It includes the transmission lines that are required to carry the electricity from power generation plants close to population centers, so close to the cities and towns where people live. It includes the substations where that really high voltage energy from the transmission lines is converted to lower voltage energy and sent into distribution lines like the ones CoServe owns that serve our local communities. And it includes everything coming up into your house, including the electric meter and your service panel that's in people's house on the wall or in their garage or somewhere in their house to provide the electricity that people use every day. Now, so that's the physical infrastructure that I would characterize as the grid, but the grid is even bigger than that because the grid also is all the people and computers and systems and control centers and everything else that are behind the scenes to make all that work. In Texas, the grid is managed by an organization called ERCOT, and ERCOT is the system operator for Texas, for most of Texas, I should say. There are some parts of far west Texas and the Panhandle and far east Texas that are not part of ERCOT. So the ERCOT grid is physically covers that area, but the ERCOT is also an organization of people that manage the grid. So they are constantly looking at how much power is being consumed by the consumers in Texas and how much power is being produced by the generation plants that are available within Texas, and they're always working to keep those exactly matched. For instance, on a hot summer day, you start out in the morning with fairly cool temperatures and loads are not that high. What people use is not that high, but it increases throughout the day as the temperatures heat up and people use their air conditioners more and more. And ERCOT will have to continually bring on more and more generation plants or speed up the ones that are running to allow the amount of generation to exactly match the amount that's being consumed. So that's a big job, and ERCOT does a lot of that, but so do all the people who manage the power plants themselves, so do all the people who manage the transmission lines, and so do companies like CoServe that manage the distribution. All those people and all those organizations, that's all part of the grid too.
So you talked a little bit about this, but a lot of times during the summer, people will hear stuff like load. So you're saying that load is the amount of generation, like the energy that's created, and it's scaled or it's created based off of the amount of energy usage. Is that correct?
Yes. So load is a commonly used term in the electric industry, and it's one of those terms that's kind of thrown around, and sometimes some people may mean one thing by it, and other people may be thinking something else by that same term. So load is a generic term that can refer to how much demand is being used and how much consumption is happening. And let me define those two terms for you. So demand is how much electricity people in CoServe's area or people across the state of Texas or people in ERCOT are consuming at any point in time. So if you've got a cool morning in June and it's, say, 75 degrees and it rained the night before, the air conditioners aren't running very hard, demand is relatively low. But as the day heats up, people run those air conditioners harder. By the time you get to 4 or 5 p.m. and temperatures are really hot and air conditioners are running full blast, mm-hmm. demand is quite high. So demand refers to how much electricity is being consumed at any point in time.
Nice.
Consumption, on the other hand, is how much you use over a period of time. So like over a week or over a month, how much total electricity got consumed in the within CoServe's area or within ERCOT, whichever one we're referring to. Mm-hmm. So consumption or usage is the total usage over a period of time, and demand is how much is being used at any moment in time. When people are designing the grid, they have to take both of those into account. So CoServe has to have enough capacity in our wires to handle the instantaneous demand, the highest demand that we expect to see in any given year. But we also have to keep track of how much usage is, because that's what people ultimately pay for.
Well, Gary, what are the top concerns when providing energy during the summer heat?
So for CoServe, our biggest concern is to make sure that we have enough capacity built into our system to make sure that even on the very hottest day of the summer, when electric demand reaches its very highest point, that we have ample capacity to serve our customers. So that is CoServe's number one priority, is to make sure that we've got the infrastructure in place to match our customers' peak demand. ERCOT, which again is most of Texas, is somewhat unique in the way that it works in the electric markets in Texas, because ERCOT also refers to the market for marketplace, the wholesale marketplace for electricity in Texas. And in Texas, the wholesale price of power typically ranges from about $20 per megawatt hour to about $50 per megawatt hour. In the summertime in ERCOT, though, those prices can and have reached as high as $9,000 a megawatt hour. So many, many times the normal price.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that CoServe needs to do is we need to minimize the time, the amount of power that we have to buy at those really high prices. Because ultimately, whatever we pay for wholesale energy is something that we have to recover from the in the rates that we charge. So our goal is to keep our rates as low as possible, and therefore we work very hard to make sure that we don't end up having to pay that $9,000 or those very high prices. The way we do that is we hedge our power in advance. We can buy power in advance for delivery in a given summer at much cheaper prices than what you can see in the actual real time during the summer. So one of the concerns is to keep our prices low, and therefore to minimize the price that we pay for wholesale energy. And we do that through hedging and through careful management of our energy. Another tool that we can use is the Nest Rush Hour Rewards Program, where many of our members who own Nest thermostats are participating. And through this, they've agreed to allow us to cut back on their air conditioning use during those very peak times when those high prices are most likely to occur, to help reduce our overall demand, how much we're pulling from the ERCOT market during those high price periods.
Yeah. So it sounds a little bit like the buying it in advance versus buying it the day of is sounds a little bit like, you know, you're booking a flight in advance, getting a good deal on a flight versus buying it the day of. It could be hundreds of dollars more.
That's a great analogy. That's exactly right. So if you're buying in advance when the demand isn't that high,
yeah,
instead of trying to buy, you know, right before you need it when demand and prices are at their highest.
Yeah.
How much control does ERCOT have over CoServe?
Well, ultimately, ERCOT is the authority that manages the entire power grid in Texas. So indirectly, they have a lot of control over CoServe, as well as every other provider of electricity across the state of Texas. From CoServe's perspective, ERCOT really doesn't get very involved in our distribution system and how we manage our supply to our customers. But ERCOT does have the ability to call rotating outages if we ever get in a crisis, where an emergency, where there is simply, we're approaching the point where there's not enough generation to match the peak demand. So if we ever get into that kind of a situation, then ERCOT has the ability to, for not only for CoServe, but for every organization and company across Texas that serves customers, they have the ability to have us institute rotating outages.
And that brings us to our next question, which is, you know, we hear things on the news, brownouts, blackouts, you know, the news, local news media will use those terms when discussing the summer heat, and, you know, ERCOT saying that we're going to have blackouts or something like that. Why is the phrase rotating outage more appropriate?
Because these rotating outages are controlled events, and blackout or brownout implies that you really don't have control. A blackout would be something that's unplanned, unexpected, and really gets out of control quickly. So what ERCOT is doing is, if ERCOT reaches the point where there soon will not be enough generation available to match the demand, ERCOT can reduce that overall demand by instituting rotating outages. So for rotating outages, they are looking at a small area at a time and causing that to go in outages, into an outage. And typically what we've seen historically is 15 minutes at a time. They will shut down one group of customers And if you think about it statewide, it's actually many groups of customers throughout the state who are being shut down for 15 minutes at a time. And then you rotate and go to another group, another set of customers or groups of customers. And you can just sequentially do this. And by doing this, you can reduce the overall demand on the system so that there is sufficient generation to meet the demand. And by keeping it managed and under control in that way, you can avoid a much more serious problem, which would be a true blackout where the entire grid goes down.
What would a grid failure actually look like, and how likely is that to ever happen?
It is highly unlikely. It's only happened a few times in U.S. history, but it can happen. I think the most recent time that a lot of people may be familiar with happened in August 2003. In August 2003, many of the states in the northeastern U.S., including New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and a few others, as well as the province of Ontario in Canada, all experienced a blackout at the same time. And this, it covered, these were all people who are covered by a variety of different utilities. So it covered a lot of different companies. It covered, it didn't really matter, but all these grids are interconnected in that part of the country are interconnected. And what started out as some transmission lines that came in contact with trees and shorted out became a very out of control situation. And it was, there was a combination of human error and mechanical error that led to that, but ultimately it led to a big part of the country, a significant part of the population of the U.S. and Canada, experiencing a blackout, an uncontrolled blackout. And they ended up, in some areas, they're able to get power back after about 4 to 6 hours. In other areas, it took as long as 2 days to get the power back at that point in time.
Oh, man.
So that's what you want to avoid. And that's what, when ERCOT talks about rotating outages, ERCOT is trying to avoid having any situation that looks like that.
Mm-hmm. And I know ERCOT has the emergency energy alert system, the different steps to kind of help members know, okay, if they have it at this level, and they're just starting to tell people, okay, well, let's conserve energy and stuff. If ERCOT issues an emergency alert this summer, how should COSERV members respond?
By keeping the community in mind. So ERCOT has a series of three levels of energy emergency alerts, or EEAs. Energy emergency alert one means that conservation is needed. And so that's a call on all the users of electricity across the state to do what they can to minimize their usage. For COSERV's members, assuming that this is happening in the summertime, the most effective and quickest way that people can help is by raising the set point of their air conditioners. Air conditioners in the summertime are far and away the biggest user of electricity in Texas. So, and that's where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck, if you will. So the best thing people can do in that situation is raise their thermostat setting a few degrees. And just be a little bit warmer, let it get a little bit warmer in your house.
Yeah.
And they'll do that with, so ERCOT will actually, it typically will also issue a conservation alert before the energy, when they see that they may be getting close to needing an energy emergency alert. But if available reserves of available generation drop to a certain point, they'll issue an energy emergency alert saying conservation is absolutely needed. If reserves were to continue to fall, then they go to an energy emergency alert level two, where conservation is critical. And in that situation, ERCOT actually has contracts with several big users of electricity, big industrial facilities, who are under contract to drop their load. So ERCOT can actually come in and shut down those units to help the system. And energy emergency level three is the one we hope we don't have to get to. That's where you've actually got rotating outages happening.
Nice. So here's kind of a fun question. You're, you know, a coaster expert. You know what's going on. You're a grid expert, I would say, based off of our conversation. But you're also an energy user at home. You use energy, AC, fans, you know, TV, stuff like that. What's the hardest thing for you when it comes to trying to be efficient or save energy in the summer?
Coming to agreement within the family about where to set the thermostat, I think, is the hardest thing. So,
would you say you're like, oh, let's bump it up a couple of degrees, and the rest of the family is like, no, it's so hot.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I tend to like it warmer than a lot of people, so or I can tolerate it warmer anyway.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for everything you shared. Any final thoughts about the summer, or anything? Any other final thoughts you have?
I will add that this summer there's a lot of uncertainty in ERCOT, more so than we've ever had before, and that's because of COVID, unfortunately. COVID has definitely changed the way that people use electricity in Texas. More people are at home, fewer people are in businesses. So across the state, we've definitely seen an increase in residential demand, a decrease in commercial demand. But how that all nets out is still kind of unknown, because we really don't know what situation we're going to be like in a month or two. And so, you know, ERCOT, I know, is monitoring it closely. Brazos is monitoring their part of the system closely. And CoServe, we are monitoring it closely, trying to understand and anticipate how much power people ultimately are going to need. And that's made things quite challenging. So this year is a more interesting year than most for that reason. But as ERCOT said in a press release not long ago, one thing you can still be certain of is there will be a lot of heat in Texas in the summertime. So we know that power requirements are going to be high this summer. We know that ERCOT is likely to have times when there's very high power demand and we get close to the limit of the available generation that's out there. So we just need to be aware of it and be mindful of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Gary. We really appreciate it. You've shared some really awesome nuggets about the grid and about how people can conserve energy this summer. So thanks for your time.
Very welcome. Enjoyed it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, sir.
Running your AC throughout the day may only cost you a few bucks, but over the course of a month, those dollars add up. We hope the things we've talked about in this episode help you save money and beat the heat.
And every time you save energy during the summer, you're helping the grid, which helps Texans across the state.
If you want to see your detailed energy usage, check out the My Usage section in Smart Hub. Our robust tools can help you zero in on how to save money by identifying the energy users in your house.
And if you want to nerd out a little more, CoServe has a nifty tool called the Energy Detector. This tool gives you energy saving suggestions based on your CoServe account data and specific home setup.
Love me some practical maths.
If you have a question you'd like us to answer here on the show, send it to podcast@coserve.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for listening to As a Meter of Fact with CoServe, hosted by Jason Kress and Sarah Ellis. Oscar Martinez is our producer. Special thanks to Gary Franzen, Josh Sterling, and Nicholas Sokolaris.
See y'all soon.
Stay frosty.
Yes.